Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th Man, John Inch. Hey, Kelly, how's it going? Hey, Kelly, how's it going? Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th Man, John Inch. Okay. Can you hear me there, Kelly? Are you there, Kelly?
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
Hopefully there's Aspen on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries?
I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL. We play by our own rules.
Why do you think it takes you guys four downs to get 10 yards? We only need three up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
Yeah, you know, they give us one just in case.
I love four downs. First down, second down, third down, you know, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I'd say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know, that would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home? I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
Wow.
You know?
A whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little.
CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
The lines of scrimmage in the Canadian game are a yard apart rather than on the tips of the ball. How do you think that would affect play?
Hey, you know, the difference is, hey, NFL, we're like this, right?
Right.
Right here, you're going inside, boy, you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going
right.
Outside, I'm going with you, right?
Right.
Okay. But in ball, now I got to square up. I got to square up and look at you, right? And when you start to make a move, then I'm going to turn my hips, all right? You're going to go, I'm going to go. Go, 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 go. There you go. Oh, get out of there.
You got it.
That's football Canadian style.
How you doing today, sir? Right on. You think the NFL going to three downs is a good idea? You like a 20-second play clock? No fair catch rule up there. A lot more scoring. CFL. Thanks a lot. Not getting much out of this guy. CFL. That's where the action is.
It's all about being Canadian, you know? I met Clemens one night, pinball, and there was about 10 of us, and he remembered everybody's name when he left. He said, Chris, see you later, Mark, see you later, Tim, see you later, and he remembered everybody's name. I was so taken back by that. I was like, you know, here's a person that doesn't have to know who you are, but chooses to because he knows, you know, you're important. It's about being a person. It's what you can do with it, not what you can get out of it, and I think that's good. That's what I like about the CFL.
Hey, Kelly, you there? John?
Yeah, I am, Frank. Sorry.
Oh, good. Okay. So we got a connection this time.
Yes, sir.
John, I got you too, right?
Yeah.
Ranger? Okay. Well, I guess, you know, South Carolina doesn't like it at all.
No doubt.
Well, yeah, we'll muddle through here.
Just give people some perspective on what you're seeing down there, Frank, real quick.
Okay, what I'm seeing right now is not much because it's pretty dark.
Oh.
Which will be followed by tomorrow morning by widely scattered light.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can see the waves. We can see the waves. We're on the Atlantic Ocean. For anybody that doesn't know where Myrtle Beach is, it's on the Atlantic Ocean. We're on the eighth floor of our balcony overlooks the ocean, and of course all the pools and stuff that we have as part of this complex. It's a condo complex, so you know it has a full kitchen. The only thing it doesn't have is a laundry machine. And a dishwasher. Well, it has a dishwasher, but, you know. Yeah, well, anyway, a couple of dishwashers, but not the mechanical kind. And it was 51 degrees at its coldest point today. And from what I understand from my cohabitant here, it's really cold inside here too much because she's got the air conditioning going. And did you turn it off? Okay. So our air conditioning's on, so that gives you an indication of the temperature was really nice today, and it just started It rained a little bit, and one thing about when it's way above zero, if we talk Celsius, when you talk way above zero, rain doesn't bother you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's Christopher.
It's beautiful. It's sweet.
Yeah.
It's nice here. Yeah, I'm still trying to get a hold of John, and I'm having trouble hooking up. Well, you're a testament to the difficulties of. I'm directly connected to the hotel, so it's not because it's Wi-Fi. I'm directly
right.
connected, and I have to borrow my daughter's laptop to make this all happen. And actually, it's. You know, it seems to be working okay.
Yeah.
Except I'm having trouble getting John on the air.
I can hear you great. I mean, I had an initial problem. The call came through and there was just nothing there. So I, you know, exercised my patience, waited around a couple minutes, still nothing. Just gave you a quick heads up on Facebook. You called me back and everything's just peachy now.
I'm on my third time calling John. And still no luck, but you know we'll see how it goes. I suppose as long as he knows that I'm trying to get a hold of him, things will just be peachy keen once we finally connect. Anyway, I haven't heard from Bruce either yet. Christopher Jones is celebrating along with his daughter her engagement tonight. So,
oh, nice.
Christopher's family is growing by one more guy, and mm-hmm. I'm sure they're excited and thrilled about it, and they should be. And so, all best wishes
for sure.
to Christopher and his family, and you know, we wish them the best in their future. And it should be an
yeah.
interesting time, to say the least, because you know, I don't know what it's like. Because, you know, my children as yet haven't reached that point in life. And but mm-hmm. it should be fun. I don't know if this is the first for Chris. But, you know, whichever
it is. Yeah.
If it's... yeah?
Yeah. No, it's definitely his first wedded child. And he's really looking forward to it. I mean, you know, Chris, he doesn't really wear his heart on his sleeve too much. But... at the same time, I mean, I can tell, like, I've gotten to know him pretty good over the past few months, and I can tell he's really happy for his daughter, legitimate happiness, so.
And thrill.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so the Combine has done wonders. Oh, and by the way, also, I went on a touring here and running into some football players who were curious about the Canadian Football League, and
mm-hmm.
and we talked a little bit about the Canadian Football League, and of course, when you talk the Canadian Football League in a group, some don't know about the Canadian Football League, some that know about the Football League aren't really sure of the rules, but most,
mm-hmm.
when they hear the rules, are aghast at three downs. How many yards do you have to get a first down? Like, you
yeah,
know, in other
an
words,
80-yard field.
Right, so,
no, it's
so
actually
I
110 yards.
I actually get
yeah.
a kick out of that, right? Is the fact that
for sure.
they're not really you know how should I say it? They don't know what to ask because immediately, right off the bat, the most important part of, you know, you get in a huddle, now you got to figure out, you got to get a first down. And the first question is, what do we have to do to get a first down? Oh, we get 10 yards? Okay, that's the same. Whoa, hang on. Three downs?
Three downs? You know, I mean, they
you
even
know?
Affectionately call the two different games four-down football and three-down football. So, you know, if
yeah.
they haven't really paid too much attention and know a lot about the CFL, then they're definitely out in the cold when you mention the three downs, that's for sure. It's kind of a conversation stopper.
So I believe that was John's answering machine just turning off. So he got to hear
oh,
part
yeah.
of the show. And then it just hung up on me.
Well,
you know, it isn't the first time that you know, problems, and John, you know, has the most experience dealing with this, you know, that had problems. So, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, we've got the combine, and we had an opportunity to, you know, to basically digest what happened. There are clearly some favorites that are out there, and we are being made aware of who these favorites are. And Duvernay-Tardif, you know, had a pro day because he didn't show up at the combine. Of course, he is the highest ranked player in this year's draft, and so much so that he may be drafted to the NFL. For now, at least, there were quite a few professional scouts, both representing three-down football and four-down football, and four-down being represented, of course, by the NFL. And, you know, I don't know how this works, where a guy just by himself, you know, I don't know. What do you think of that decision to do something on his own outside of the CFL Combine? Any reasoning that you see in your mind, and we can share our opinions here? And of course, you know, to what end?
Know, probably has something to do with the fact that he's probably already hired an agent, and this is, you know, recommendation of his agent. I'm not 100% sure that his agent had any influence, but it seems to be that way. I mean, you know, get an agent, they start getting calls from interested parties, and, you know, when you have, you know, scouts from two leagues that want to have a look, you know, those NFL guys, I'm sure they're welcome at the CIS combine, let's call it, because these are typically graduating NCAA and CIS, but mostly CIS guys. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's room for them there, but not much point for them to come there necessarily. So it didn't shock me that, you know, he had his own pro day or whatever. But you know, you've seen it in other sports, baseball and stuff like that. There's occasionally guys that work out for several clubs, and it's just them working out for the clubs, you know. So, you know, like I say, it wasn't shocking, but at the same time, sure wish he could have made both events, you know what I mean? I mean, why wouldn't you want to, is kind of what I'm thinking, you know, as far as, you know, catching up with old teammates, maybe meeting some guys that you've never met before from the West Coast and the Western and Central provinces, you know. It's fun. I mean, he's a young man, right? So kind of a puzzler as to why he wouldn't attend both, but definitely don't hold it against him for, you know, I don't think he's grandstanding or anything like that.
Oh, gosh, no. No.
No.
From my perspective, quite clearly, we had conversations last week about the fact that this event that took place, you know, first of all, with the regional combines, which contributed to the list of hopefuls and or high-ranking, as you said, CIS and NCAA Canadian draft picks. Now, mm-hmm. he opted out, which is fine in my book, in as far as it has nothing to do with, I agree with you, no, not an ego problem. But the fact is, mm-hmm. we discussed last week that this really isn't something, you know, even Coach Austin of Coach and GM Austin of the Hamilton Tiger Cats said, you know, we come here to just confirm some things that we believe. We also had the conversation last week, as you recall, that we discussed that probably the most important thing other than confirmation of skills, you know, the ability to run, the speed at which you run, the shuttle, the various drills that show a player's, you know, football acumen, if you will. And they mm-hmm. do all that stuff, and it's mostly, just, you know, I hate to say it, window dressing. And the most important thing
is
that
right.
sit down with the coaches, right? And
absolutely.
Also, and that to me is the key thing that people are going to. This guy is projected, and I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that if Ottawa decides to draft the best player available in the draft, we know who that'll be, and it will be Mr. Tardif. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's going to be him, and they will draft him, and you know. The GM for Ottawa has made it very clear, Marcel Desjardins, that he's not in a position now where, you know, he has to hedge his bets, he has to do this because he's putting together an expansion team. This is the first time where he gets to draft, you know, or to make a move, if you will, on the same basis
yep.
all the other 8 teams make it, you know. So it's a level playing field right now.
Oh, I agree.
So Frank? The other thing is, I thought you dropped out there for a second.
Nope, I'm here.
Okay, good. So what I will add as well, because I'm not done yet, here we go. Thank goodness, because it's just me and you. You know, as to be expected at this, you know, all on one, if you will, you know, this all interested parties on one player event, needless to say, pretty much, well, you can assume that all the CFL teams were available and prepared to do whatever it took to impress him on showing him, because in this case, this is not his ego talking, this is me speaking bluntly, and as bluntly as I can speak. All the teams in the CFL are going to make sure that he understands that he is a desired player for their organization. So they were represented, I believe, to the degree that would satisfy that they, you know, don't send any mixed or wrong signals to this young lad. And not only were they there, are also, as I said, 4-down football, otherwise, you know, represented by the initials NFL, New York Jets, Oakland Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers, Philadelphia Eagles, Chicago Bears, San Francisco 49ers, Buffalo Bills, Arizona Cardinals also had representatives there viewing this kid, this talented projected first-round pick in the CFL draft this year, which is, of course, Ottawa's to determine first and foremost ahead of all the other teams. So the interest in this kid is widespread, and it is based on his size, his speed, you know, his mobility. And he did a 30-inch vertical jump, 32-inch vertical jump, and he had a 9'6" in the broad jump. So, you know, it only goes to show he's for real. And, yes, there are interested parties for a 298-pound player.
He's Shaquille O'Neal, maybe from Quebec. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a huge body. Very athletic. And, you know, another thing that they're doing, Frank, is it's a bit of an opportunity to mix maybe for some of the CFL GMs and assistant GMs with these NFL guys and just do a little bit of networking, like, specifically to this player. You know, feel them out for maybe, you know, because here's the theory. If I was Brendan Tammann down there, GM of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and I felt strongly that the Jets felt strongly about this guy and they were going to pick him, my idea would shift to the fact that the Jets will draft him, therefore nobody should draft him in the CFL, and then it becomes a question of which team, like you said, is most attractive to him because he goes in the supplemental draft and, you know, he can get picked by any team, but he doesn't necessarily have to sign there. You know what I mean? It's kind of...
Yeah, no.
He can decide. Yeah, like Matt O'Donnell a couple of years ago, you know, he's drafted by the Riders in the sup draft, but didn't want to play here, so we had to move him to Edmonton.
And the options for this kid are wide open, needless to say.
Sure.
It's obvious the options are wide open. And as is the case with CFL, it's not always about a player leaving because he will never be seen by that team. You know, the CFL is actually an anomaly in the sports world because, you know, a player leaving in the CFL almost means more that he'll be back later than he's gone forever. Take for example, right now, we've got, as an Argo fan, we lost a great defensive lineman. And he is not leaving because he is done with the Argos or done with the CFL. He's leaving because he is contemplating an opportunity to strap on a Super Bowl ring to go with his Grey Cup ring. And then if and when you've seen guys come back in Saskatchewan who had 4 or 5 years of good NFL experience. In fact, you had a pretty big guy there on the subject of big guys, make it 3 in a row now, we're talking go away, then come back. So that draft pick, is sort of like a ticking time bomb as far as the rest of the teams are concerned when you make that pick. And if Ottawa makes Tardif their pick, Tardif, there's a few times where he could come back. He could go there and for whatever reason not fit in the NFL for whatever reason. But one thing's for sure, at the position that he's playing, there will be some patience exhibited. So if he gets drafted by an NFL team, in my opinion, he's good as gone for 3 years. And that in itself will be a determining factor for Ottawa. But also I did say that this is the first time, and this is from the GM of Ottawa, that they're drafting just like the rest of the teams are. They're not going to be frightened away by the fact that he might go to the NFL for a short time or might go to the NFL, period. So, Marcel Desjardins is an experienced CFL guy. You know, he understands, the yin and the yang of the NFL-CFL relationship.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And, you know, here, guy I'm most familiar with, I believe it was just last year, was Akeem Hicks from the Regina Rams here. He was heavily touted by the American scouts, and he, in fact, did get drafted. Well, it didn't prevent, I believe it was Calgary, from drafting him first round last year, you know what I mean? So, there is a lot to weigh. You just stack the negatives against the positives, and like you said, it's a three-year minimum for an O-lineman. I mean, let's say absolute minimum 2 years, but yeah, I agree. I think he'll be away for three if he does get drafted. It's a position where, like you said, they can exhibit some patience and put a little time and money into this guy.
Yeah, and he does have an extremely good upside, and I think the attendance of all the scouts from both leagues is a testament to that.
Oh yeah, for sure. First time ever. I mean, this is a unique event that the likes of has never been seen before in the CFL. So, as far as I know,
absolutely. Well, you know what? Each year is a new beginning for a lot of teams, so this is just another new beginning with an unusual twist. With him having his own thing going on in Montreal. But you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more football. And the CFL football. And we'll hopefully some of the other guys will join us. But it seems they're on vacation as well as I am.
Not
you know
me,
what
buddy.
Being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. and cross it.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical.
The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Woo! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have any more popcorn?
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos Cheerleaders.
Hello, everyone. I'm Candid Frank Live and a member of the Argo Lifers, a fan supporter group of the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. As a group, we have been dedicated to working hard at Argo games, screaming, yelling, and doing whatever it takes to distract the opposition in the CFL. Guess what? We have been noticed by many, including the Toronto Argonauts themselves. In fact, we have been noticed by you, the fans, as well. Even the players and coaches and all the Argo staff are pleased and appreciate our support. So much so that the season tickets are being offered to you, you, and you for next season for very close to half price. What do you have to do to share in this opportunity? Just use my name, Candid Frank Live Stanishi, when calling Argo sales rep Chris Andreoli at 416-341-2793. You heard it, nearly half price from Chris Andreoli at 416-341-2793. Just say Candid Frank Live Stanishi sent you. That number again, 416-341-2793. I hope I'll be yelling next to you in 2014. Argos! The next break we take, we'll begin to honor the balance some of the other teams in the CFL. I make no bones about the fact that I'm an Argo fan, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live, which whose initials are CFL, and that is not a coincidence. That was planned, and it took, actually nobody ever figured that out, that the name of the show was an homage, if you will, to the Canadian Football League, and I do totally adore the Canadian Football League, and so you know that's what this show is all about. And we try hooking up with some fans. And this week, I was noting that there were some people who were, concerned that there wasn't enough CFL talk in a lot of the Facebook pages and groups, and there's not much news about the CFL. We don't allow that to deter us. Kelly and I are here right now, ready to discuss whatever minute detail there is to explore in the Canadian Football League. Right, Kelly?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's 365 here. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there is no breaks here.
No breaks
and
here
you
either.
Know what? And you know what? Thanks a lot, Frank. I mean, it takes a big commitment to do this while you're away on vacation. So thanks a lot for filling my needs and the needs of the listeners out there.
Well, you know what? I'm on break time, and I'm on vacation. And please understand this if you're listening, wherever you're listening, because we have listeners in Africa, we have listeners in Hawaii, we have listeners. I don't think we have any yet
Pakistan.
In South America. Pakistan. We have listeners in Pakistan. Alaska. We do, stretch out the continent, stretch out from the continental North American, world. We do go outside there. And there are a lot of CFL fans. And shortly, hopefully I've got a guest that I'm really looking forward to having. I've been talking to Adam Rita, and he's out of the country for now. I guess he comes back during football season, and I'm hoping to get Adam Rita on the show. You know, he's the kind of guy that that the CFL was made for. You know, a forward-thinking, open-minded, guy that otherwise, culturally not your typical football, you know, going back to his era. You know, the CFL has been a very welcoming and a very culturally open organization. You know, that the first black quarterbacks were here in the CFL. You know, we have a non-import rule. The reason it's called non-import and not Canadian, because smaller communities in the world that have players that play football, like Jamaica or the Honduras, where there were people that were born there that play football, they get to be designated equal to Canadians, which is a testament, again, to Canadian values and the Canadian cultural, way of doing things. I'm proud of the CFL because it is so, convergent. It does bring in a lot of small areas, communities, and people who otherwise aren't given the same kind of opportunity that they are entitled to, quite frankly. So yeah, mm-hmm. it's easy to admire and love the CFL.
For sure. You know, you just have to look at, like you said, Coach Rita. I mean, a guy like Luke Mullender, he's from New Zealand, considered a Canadian. Another legendary rider, Dave Ridgway, born in England. I mean, these guys, like you said, because we're such a wonderful nation in Canada, we consider these guys non-imports. And, not to pat ourselves on the back, but I think we're doing a pretty good job of, being inclusive and not letting, some pretty minor stuff get in the way of, having the best product on the field.
Yeah, it is about people. The Canadian Football League, maybe there's not a lot of news out there today as far as the Canadian Football League is concerned. And, it is, again, Friday night. So a lot of people are out there enjoying the weekend, if you will, as it begins. And, the thing of it is, too, is that the Canadian Football League is an opportunity for many to exercise dreams at totally, from different directions, from different levels. You know, it is so, it is so wide in scope in as far as, you have players that come to this league because they just can't wait to come out the tunnel to thousands of cheering fans and bright lights and all that kind of stuff. And that's the main reason why they play the game. You got guys that want to come through that tunnel and they want to show what they can do because they believe that if they do well on the CFL field, they could end up in the NFL. You know, it is an amazing, array of motivations for players to participate in this league with, our three-down league, which is called the Canadian Football League. But in reality... it's not just a Canadian Football League. It is as American as it is Canadian, especially if one looks at it from a player perspective. And when those American players come to this country, and you have one of my favorite guys on Facebook is Belton Johnson. He is an ex-rider, and he lives in Saskatchewan, and he carved out a life in Saskatchewan. I believe he even married a Saskatchewan lady, and he's raising a family, and he's the opportunity of playing football in Regina gave him an opportunity to make a living, and the beauty of being, in the Canadian Football League, he played for both Hamilton and Regina, but he's still a big Hamilton Tiger Cat fan, which to me in Regina, and the fact that he's still not bruised and battered much, I think that's a testament to really how wonderful all the fans are in the CFL, and I include we kid each other, the old Argos suck, and Regina's full of
banjo playing
egotistical better than everybody else people, but you know what, we say all that stuff and we act that way, but we do it I hope and I hope I really do I really hope that we do it in an understanding that it's a mutual deprecation with, you know, only undertones of that kind of stuff after the game, but usually just during the game. After the game, you know, CFL fans are the best, some of the best. I have lacrosse fans, same mentality where, you know, they love the game. And it's different being a CFL fan. It's not like being a hockey fan, you know, the NHL. It's not like being an NBA fan or an NFL fan. It is far more inclusive, and the players and the fans they break bread together, to be specific. So, you know, how much more of a relationship do you want with a team that you follow than that?
Oh, absolutely, man. It's you know, in Regina here we have junior hockey, and you guys do too in Toronto. You got more than one club in Toronto, and you know, I don't know if you get that same small-town feel from the CHL there, but, you know, here, you know, these guys are living with families in our community. They're coming from, you know, Europe and all around Canada and even the States. And you know, that I kind of compare the CFL, the player-fan relationship to the CHL in a lot of ways, because both leagues have done a tremendous job of incorporating and pushing their players, well, not pushing, but encouraging their players out into the community. And once these guys get out there and you know, let their personality shine and, you know, do some good work for some good organizations and stuff like that, and, oh, you just really, you feel close to them. And, you know, in Regina here, you see the guys at the grocery store and you see them at the fitness clubs and whatnot. By the way, Nick Lewis spotted in Regina at a fitness club this week. But yeah, it's you know, it's just unbelievable the relationship between the fan and the player in the CFL, and it's what separates us from a lot of North America's major leagues.
Yeah, especially when you have to you know, as you're doing right now, when you are comparing a professional league, you know, like the CFL, to junior, you know, billeted players, you know, you're making the point even stronger, you know. And the thing that I enjoy, and I'll be totally honest, when it comes to this show, the biggest thing I really enjoy about this show, and I hope the people who listen to the program glean this as well, is we get to learn a little bit more about what it's like to be a Saskatchewan fan. You know, admittedly, it is, you know, through only a few folks. But even with that few, you know, that sampling of so few people, we still get an idea of where your heads are at. And through you, we begin to understand better the Saskatchewan football mentality. I hope, you know, I'd like to think that I'm just your average Argo fan. But here in Argo land, yeah, in Toronto, it's, you know, when you talk about small communities and stuff like that, unfortunately here it is not a small community. It is, you know, bright lights, major distractions. There's always, yeah, something, you know, muscling in for center of attention, you know. And to be honest,
for sure,
you know, it's big business town, you know. So you know, it is what it is. And so for people like myself, who were born and raised here, we understand the way it works here, and sometimes we try, as John tries, as I try, and anybody else who's aware of what it's like to be a CFL fan in Toronto, we try to help people to understand that it's not as simple as nobody in Toronto cares. The problem is many of the people in the Toronto, Southern Ontario area, you know, that are Argo fans now, and then we'll get into the Hamilton,
oh, yeah,
fans, that are Argo fans, there's a lot of competition for attention, and CFL here is, you know, a voice in a choir, you know, and unfortunately sometimes I feel as though we're relegated to, you know, the cymbals in the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't get much attention to the
no
bell's turn. You know,
yeah,
it feels like that. It feels like,
well,
that,
sure,
sometimes. And you know,
absolutely,
and to be honest with you, when people, you know, talk negatively about Toronto. That's the reason why. And I'm not saying it's an excuse or justifiable. That's why I become very short-fused when it comes to comments that are made on the basis of clear lack of understanding of the dynamic that exists in Toronto and in Southern Ontario. Now, having said that, we don't have much of an excuse because down the QEW we have Hamilton, which supports their team and their town supports their team in a manner that, you know, that is really the norm in the Canadian Football League. You know, having just spoken about this, the Southern Ontario Argo fans or the Toronto Argo fans, who to me are not the ordinary CFL fan. And that's the first thing you have to do is that they don't, we don't have the same kind of opportunity, I'll say, to allow the team's information to come to us. We have to attack it. We have to look for it. We have to, you know, like dummies like me have to do a show talk about CFL so they have somewhere to talk about CFL, you know,
exactly.
In our community. So, you know, but I'm glad to do it. I get a kick out of talking CFL. I get a kick out of hearing from people like yourself and Christopher Jones and, of course, Manasse and Mike Townsend and Bruce John Inch and the list goes on, you know, Rob J. Emery, you know, all these people, Serge Devalitien, you know, all these people who share their knowledge of the game from their perspective. I really get a kick out of it because now, you know, having started the show, it's going, I guess, 2 years now, and now when I go to the game, I have a totally different perspective of when I'm watching the game because now I feel I understand better, you know, what's going on in the minds of the players. And I understand better, you know, what it takes to create a winner in the Canadian Football League. It is so, you know, there are so many levers that need to be pulled by a GM. So when you mention how great a GM Brendan Tamman is, I would have said, yeah, so he's got money. You know, 2 years ago, I said, well, he's got money, he's spending it. But then there's a respect that you have to be understand that there are so many different levers that need to be pulled in the CFL that are not needed in other leagues, right? You know what I mean? First, top of the list, you got to find a quarterback that can lead your team. And that isn't easy, as has been proven year after year in the CFL. Then you got to figure out what Canadians you should put in the lineup and where. And then you got to find Americans that fit in. And I'm making some assumptions by the way I'm describing this. Then because I could be wrong about this. And then you look for Americans to sort of play the positions that they are, you know, normally playing, but remember Canadian players because there are much fewer Canadian, talented CFL players. There are U.S. talented CFL players. So, you know, the ratio, we talk about the ratio, and really like I always knew it existed, but the closer I get to talking to people and the more I begin to understand the imperative nature, of establishing the ratio to your advantage, it is difficult to say the least, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, we've always maintained that, you know, the winner in the CFL is the team with the best Canadian depth. And you know, it's tricky. You know, Tamman was the type of guy when he was with Winnipeg that a lot of people used to say he used to overlook the draft. But, man, has he ever come 180 in Saskatchewan? He's really put a huge emphasis on the draft. So maybe it is kind of where he is, but, you know, in Saskatchewan, our top boss, Jim Hobson, kind of, I think, implemented the strategy that we're going to employ a lot of hometown kids, and that's going to help our season ticket drive, and that's going to help, the next generation of kids coming up. We really, like you say, man, that's the way it is in the CFL.
And it's a tough road to hoe. When we come back, we're going to take another short break. You're listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. Kelly Bale and Frank Stanishi here. And, you know, this is we don't hear much noise in the background. It's pretty much a simple one-on-one normal radio going on today. Normally we have, of course, our round table. Our round table right now, I don't know how you can describe it now. I guess it isn't very round. It's kind of small. It's like Big Brother towards the end of the show.
No doubt. Face
we'll
off.
We'll take a short break.
Face off.
Back. Yeah, face off. Yeah, face off. All right, so we are under the cone of silence here if you're a Guest Mark fan. Okay, let's go for a short break. You're listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. Heard Monday and Fridays as far as the CFL is concerned, Wednesdays for lacrosse and Sunday for hockey. We hope you're enjoying the program thus far. If you'd like to be a part and make a comment, you could join the conversation, to coin a phrase that's been coined for me, at 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Yes, that's an American number if you're in the U.S. and, you know, it's a local U.S. number. If you're in Canada, yes, it's a long-distance number. If you have a long-distance plan, please take advantage. If you don't, you can Skype call as well. And you can message me on Facebook at Candid Frank Live Stanley Sheet and toss me your number or a comment or a message, and we'll be more than glad to share it with the rest of the folks that are listening to the program. We'll be back right after this.
This is a league of A's and BC's. It's green and red and gold and black and blue. This is a league with two official languages and many unofficial languages. It's East versus West, wheat versus iron, love versus hate. This is a league where superstars are extraordinary and ordinary at the same time. It's a league of ice, of fog, of mud, and wind. And for one Sunday in November, it's the nation's glue. This is a league as diverse as a country, a league of Jacksons and Kwongs, Johnsons, Moscas, O'Shea's, and Haji Razulis. This is his league, her league, and their league. It's my league, and it's your league. This is our league.
This team, this cheer actually originated with the 1925 NHL Hockey Hamilton Tigers, which we're now trying to get an NHL team back, as you know. Yeah. And a guy named Vince Wirtz used to jump on the ice with his big fur coat and bowler hat and do this cheer. And then it translated over to the football side because, well, there was no more hockey team. They went to New York.
Yeah.
So that cheer went from Vince to his son Bill Wirtz. Bill carried it on until around seventies, and then Pigskin Pete picked it up, Paul Weiler, and he just retired and handed it to a new guy. So this cheer has been going, well, do the math, from, say, 1925, 75 plus 9 is?
A long time,
there
Bob.
There you go, 84.
Exactly.
It's almost 90 years old
this
cheer.
And you'll see it at the games. The guy's got a bowler hat because they've kept that tradition from day one. So it goes like this. Oski wee wee.
Oski wee wee.
Oski wah wah.
Oski wah wah.
Holy Mackinac.
Holy Mackinac.
Tigers.
Tigers.
Eat 'em raw.
Eat 'em raw. Okay. There you go. And.
Oski wee wee. Oski wah wah. Holy Mackinac.
Tigers.
Eat 'em raw.
All right.
Okay.
Got it.
I hope that means now you all can do the Oski Wee Wee chant. And I'm not sure that I can convince Kelly. By the way, while we went to that break, I lost them at the same time. And I'm sitting here enjoying my vacation, and I'm having myself a little bit of ginger ale. And
nice.
I have to say, it's really nice ginger ale. And I'm really enjoying the ginger ale, I have to say. This is one time where I'm actually drinking pop. You know, people refer to having a pop. Well, I can say now that finally the moon has had an effect on the exterior of the condo here. And we've got a nice view of the darkened waves and the moonlight. I suppose I may be talked into, but I doubt. Unless it's still warmer outside than it is inside the condo, maybe a moonlit walk along the beach.
Wow. Sounds romantic.
Sure does. Sounds like I'll be trying to extricate sand from crevices all over my body. So basically, as promised, we're back. And we've been talking about, the game of football, Canadian style, if you will, Canadian Football League style, because I've established with you folks already that are listening that the Canadian Football League is bigger than just a Canadian Football League. You know, we've had the experimentation of having U.S.-based teams in the Canadian Football League. Many would suggest automatically that it was a total failure because it fell apart. But there are a few locations, Baltimore, for example, that still pay large portions of homage to their Baltimore Stallions, the team that became the Montreal Alouettes once again. So we had the American experience. And the off-season is a great time because we get to talk about stuff that that we normally don't talk about in the Canadian Football League. We have expansion as it's going right now, and we have what I believe probably one of the most successful expansions in league history in Ottawa, where it appears at least for those of us who aren't that close to the situation, but enough that we've got our ear to the ground, that they've brought in the appropriate owner, an appropriate CFL type owner that fits the mold of an owner that will be successful in the community that they're promoting the game, and that, of course, being Ottawa. And, of course, they've brought in an experienced GM, one that is francophone as well, which is an asset in a community, because Ottawa is not just Ottawa, it is Ottawa Hull. Doing everything right in that expansion. Let's, Kelly, in your perspective, how do you rate the expansion in Ottawa and how it's gone, how it's worked out? You know, they've hit every key that they need to hit. You know, they've expanded. They've demolished the old football Lansdowne Stadium, and they've erected the new TD Park. How do you rate what's gone on in Ottawa, prior to their first season back?
Oh, well. You know, it's just been marvelous. I guess, being born in 1977, I've been privileged to witness 11 expansion teams, the six from the States, right? Not 11, nine. The six from the States, right, during the 90s. And then, or maybe there was even more than that, if you want to correct me. But anyways, and the
Doesn't
two
matter.
Ottawa incarnations. Yeah, this one and the Renegades, of course, and the Alouettes from the Concords. Now, this has been the single greatest effort I have ever seen. I think anybody would agree. The timeline set by Ottawa management and ownership and the league itself has worked out just perfectly. I mean, I guess maybe we can't say perfectly yet because the stadium thing isn't done yet, but I have faith that that'll take care of itself. Whether it's a couple weeks late or whatever, who cares? I mean, this has just been amazing, and I really, really frustrates me anybody who gets on their name or the logo or even their new mascot, which I believe was named today, or I don't know, I can't.
can't specifically recall the name of the fellow, but you know, this Ottawa episode has just been fantastic. I would have to rate it. Well, I think perfection is pretty tough to attain, so let's go between 8 and 9, so 8.5 out of 10. You know, it's just been fantastic.
Which means that and I'm sorry for interrupting, but you know,
no problem.
When you say that, it means that to achieve the 1.5 or 2 points, all they have to do is play well.
Absolutely. It's the main key now is just getting on that field and making a splash, right? Getting busted mm-hmm. seats and meeting the bottom lines. Yep.
Now,
absolutely.
I agree with you 100%. Yes, it cannot be considered perfect until, you know, they win the Grey Cup, you know, in their first year. That would be perfect, right? So I guess
right.
that being a 10 is a pretty big achievement. So basing it on that kind of score sheet, if you will,
mm-hmm.
an 8 isn't a shameful thing to be in.
No, not at all. Yeah, it's high praise for me, man.
It is, and they deserve it. And, you know, the CFL, starting with Cohan, has done a masterful job in, it's not easy for the guy that, in a boardroom of football teams, to convince the football teams that are existing, the pre-existing football teams, I would like to make sure that this Ottawa team drafts so they can be better than one of you guys. Or two of you guys, or three of you guys. That's not something you
exactly.
want to hear if you're in that room.
No doubt. You know, it's definitely, I mean, it's a dicey proposal. I mean, he's a pretty slick guy, though, that Cohan, isn't he? I mean, mm-hmm. I think everybody at the board level in the league understands that Ottawa has some historical significance in the league, and it really just, you know, I mean, as much as I loved the CFL while they were gone, it just wasn't the same, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like how Winnipeg was in the
no.
Eastern Division there, you know? The real CFL includes Ottawa, and Winnipeg's in the West for me. You know, and comparatively speaking to the Renegades.
You're being very kind, I have to say. You're being very kind. Because honestly, how can you call it the Canadian Football League when the capital of the country doesn't have a team?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a travesty
they should have never left. But there were decisions made. There were decisions made in the boardroom that were the opposite motivation of what we just discussed in as far as what brought Ottawa in. And I believe that's the reason why it wasn't that difficult for Ms. Cohan to sell the rest of the owners, you know, on the fact that this Ottawa team has to be good. We have to make sure that we have a good owner, a strong owner. We have to make sure this owner has the ability to put together a new stadium because we're in a new era in the CFL where, you know, places, the stadia that we have, while, you know, we're not talking about, you know, 100,000 seat stadiums, what we are talking about is enhancing the football experience for the fans to pay the freight here. And, of course, in the CFL, you know, it's a ticket-driven league. So, you know, the tickets are sold for the purpose of people strolling on to, you know, the home field or the home headquarters of a team and to sit down and watch a football game. And I think it's only fair that Mr. Cohan made sure that Ottawa, their fans, had an opportunity to experience the game in a manner that is more like, Winnipeg's new stadium as opposed to Toronto's old exhibition stadium, you know?
Oh, for sure.
You know, that. So, you know, And I don't mean to demean Toronto in any way, just the stadium I'm referring to. So, you know, it's all about atmosphere. It's all about the experience of going to a football game. And you know, that is what it is today. it's not just about going to the game. It's what happens at the game. It's how much, you know, we are a people now. Humanity is such that we multitask without even realizing it anymore.
Oh, guaranteed we do. Yeah. No, it's, you know, if you want to compare it to the Renegades, that's another interesting thing that we could do. Like, you know, I rated this an 8.5. What would you have rated the Renegades at this point in their development? You know, you've been a fan for a long time. Perhaps you can go there, give them an out of 10 rating at this point in the Renegades development. Where do you think they were?
You know, unfortunately, it's going to be painted with, you know, hindsight. So, you know, to be able to say, I'm not going to fool anybody and con anybody into thinking that I knew what was going to happen to the Renegades was going to happen. But one thing is for sure, when it came to the Renegades, I think you know, there were a lot of whispers. There were a lot of comments that basically gave the indication that there were concerns, you know, with the team and the organization. So, having said that, you know, that's problematic on its own, that we can look back and go, well, there were reasons to believe that we were going down the wrong road. So in comparison between the two is you've got one team with decisions that are easily questionable back in the Renegade era, and you've got a team that, you know, right now, I don't think, you know, there are the kinds of whispers that existed then with the Renegades. So that in itself means they're running 100% as opposed to, you know, handicapped, if you will, you know, with the knowledge that we're going, well, you know. As far as even the handling of the tickets, because we have our ear to the ground here, you know, on the Candid Frank Live Show, we beg and we borrow and we steal information where we can, glean it as best we can. And when I say we, I don't mean that's not a euphemism. I mean we. Basically, you know, if there were some concerns, someone somewhere, because not only are our people on the air here, such as the boys that are on a regular basis, we have quite a thick group of people that cover more of teams that will not come on the air because they feel intimidated by the giant personalities that exist on this program. And, you know, and I'm not saying that they're intimidated. I just say that, they're intimidated. You know, they don't want to be on the air because they don't feel that they can come. So basically, we have a lot of people who quietly in the background give us information and make us aware of stuff, which is why we become aware of things long before the mainstream media does, because basically this is a grassroots program and listen to the grassroots. Well, grassroots can tell you a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of things you can hear and glean and understand, either as existing or confirm what you think exists. And today, the Ottawa Red Blacks are under a microscope in the regular media. They're under a microscope you know, on Facebook, because they have numerous groups that have, you know, basically come to existence because of their federation of the opportunity to join the CFL. And we're connected to those groups. We listen to those groups, and we care what they have to say. And we're all listening to all these different groups. The pipeline of information, which, you know, is a real spider web of networks, and allows us the opportunity to basically understand on a personal level everybody's opinion. So right now, in a very, after a long-winded dissertation that I just gave, I guess what I'm trying to say is, with all the people that we're connected to, I haven't heard any negative stuff, even the ticket thing, you know, which is an easy one to screw up. I'm sorry, Hamilton, but we've heard firsthand that there have been some, you know, faux pas on their part in distributing tickets when it came to Guelph. Well, that's understandable, but we heard about it, which is my point. And, you know, because you can't take a stadium that holds more people and you have season tickets, and then you go to a much smaller stadium in Guelph and not have anybody unhappy with the seats that they're getting. So, you know,
for sure,
that's to be expected, you know, in fairness. You know, so, yeah, it's really nice to know that I'm not hearing a lot of bad news coming out of Ottawa or coming out of other places because of Ottawa, whether it be fans or future season ticket holders or present season ticket holders, which is very comforting to me. So,
absolutely.
I guess,
yeah.
You know, so.
True. I mean, they stole a diamond out of Saskatchewan here in Keith Scholligan, and I don't hear too many grumbles. I mean, like, yes, we're sad to lose them, but I think we're just happy to have Ottawa back. I mean, it's just, like I said, it doesn't feel like the CFL without them, so.
Mm-hmm. Newsflash, by the way.
Yeah.
I just got a newsflash.
Hmm.
You know, have you ever had caramel corn?
Well, pardon me, Frank, you're cutting out a little bit.
Yeah, we both are. Have you ever had caramel corn?
Yes, I have.
I just found out it goes well with cheese. Popcorn.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Caramel,
the combo works really well. It goes really well with that ginger ale I'm drinking.
I love ginger ale. Big fan over here.
So do I. It is a crowning achievement to drink ginger ale.
It's
you could
say
I'm having the Crown Royal treatment, our new sponsor for a Candid Frank Live.
Yeah, we, you know, we're almost worthy of some sponsorship here. You know, anybody listening wants to make Frank an offer. I mean, especially you, Canada Dry.
Rich.
Come on.
make me rich. Buy all that Candid Frank Live apparel. So now I want to say this publicly because, you know, I don't want people to misunderstand anything. And it's all in. I want to really thank Drew Crump, who has a shout out to Andrew Crump, who has unbelievably punished for those that are involved in the program as it is right now. We all have been honored by his, you know, his offerings, graphically speaking. And by graphically, I don't mean, you know, I mean literally, graphically speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, graphically. You know, thank you, Andrew. I really appreciate the work that you've done. And he's done some more work. And I can say now at this point, and I think you'll understand now, if I hope I didn't offend him by not reacting as quickly as I might have to his renditions that he has, you know, sent me of all these different graphic compilations, if you will. And I really appreciate all your hard work, Andrew Crump. I truly do. And I know the rest of the guys and gals that follow the show and are part of the show. And let me remind you, there are a lot of women that are involved in this show. As I said earlier, the testosterone wall is one that they hit. And I'm trying as hard as I can to help them understand that, don't worry, it'll be fine. You know, we attack each other because we love each other. But we will be gentlemen if the ladies are present. So anyway, so, you know, thank you, Andrew, for all that you've done and all that you will do in advance, because I know it's kind of interesting to end up with a bone to chew, how raw you can make that bone. So, you know, you can whittle it down to nothing pretty quick. Anybody that has a dog knows how quickly that can happen. So,
absolutely.
Andrew, thank you for everything that you've done. And thank you, Kelly, because it is because of you that he is a part of this. And anyone who's tried to purchase any of the Candid Frank Live apparel, we'll fix the problems a page later. Unfortunately, purchases can't made at this time to figure out the problem with the software and or the webpage. We will make sure that you'll be able to purchase that wonderful Candid Frank apparel when the opportunity arrives. At this time, I want to make this very clear, and the Revenue Canada, I'm speaking to you personally. There have been no financial gains as far as Candid Frank Live apparel is concerned. So look elsewhere. I'm sure there's somebody somewhere, maybe even in the Senate, that could use your attention. So basically, we have had a lot of fun doing this program. And the biggest reason is that we get to talk about the CFL in a manner that others who want to know more about the CFL and understand more than just the statistics, that is the biggest thing that I'm proud of. And when we get people who call us and tell us, Frank, we really enjoyed the show because you're kind of educating me in the game. You know, you're telling me stuff that your show, not you. You guys, everyone, you guys are all giving us an indication and or an understanding of the game from a perspective that we don't hear very often. And that's our goal here, because this is a program by fans for fans. Now, right now, there's only two of them in this room, and I'm really aghast, and I'm concerned, and I'm hurt and insulted that Mike Townsend couldn't find the time to give us a call. You'd think he's probably somewhere in Florida driving his truck. Well, I'm calling you out, Mike. Shame on you. And John Granger, answering machine, voicemail. I mean, really. And Bruce.
You know,
and
I
Bruce.
Do have to say something, Frank. Bruce is away with good reason tonight. I can't remember exactly what it is, but he did message on Facebook, and definitely there was a good reason behind his absence tonight.
So Bruce is forgiven. Sure, John has a good reason because I got to tell you, if he could be on, he would be on. So for those of you that are out there and bored with the lack of, aggressive banter that is normal, that is the norm here on Candid Frank Live, I'm sorry that Kelly and I are being so amiable. Of course, I have to be amiable with Kelly because he's all I got. So, you know, that's the way it's got to go, folks. I'm sorry, don't bite the hand.
You know, ladies, it'd be ideal time for you to call in tonight. I mean, we don't have this barrier tonight.
Yeah, because
Debbie,
because
Phyllis.
Yeah, ladies, call in because Smooth and Smoother are on the air tonight.
Yeah.
I won't say which one's which because as far as I'm concerned, it really doesn't matter. So the Phyllises, they could give us a call. Miss Weaver, you can call us as well if you'd like. Open invitation for the ladies to call in. Normally, feel a little intimidated by the roster of guys that are on the air here on the program. Having said that, the phone number is 714-242-5250. And also, if you're listening, if you click on the player, if you're using the Blog Talk Radio player, there is a Skype button, which entitles you to a free membership to Skype. And as far as Blog Talk Radio is concerned, you get free time to call this program. It is at no charge. And, of course, if you're a member of Facebook, you can Facebook message me at Candid Frank Live Stanishi, and basically either you could share a comment, or if you'd like me to call you, because it doesn't cost to be called as opposed to calling, I am more than willing to do that because I'm really not doing nothing other than being on the air here trying to entertain you at this wonderful juncture in the evening. It is now actually 10:19 Eastern Daylight Time.
Yeah.
And we are coming to you from, I at least am coming to you from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, in the midst of March Madness, which is in this community a big deal. Let me tell you,
huge.
It's a big deal. Big deal. And so I am in enemy territory here discussing the Canadian Football League. Now, how's that for dedication? I think that deserves another sip of ginger ale.
You're going to get NASCAR fans revving their engines outside your condo there all night, bud.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, this is Blue Devil country. So, you know, it is, as far as the NCAA is concerned, big deal. And, this part of America is very college-driven, whether it be football or basketball, matters not, major high school football. This is where it's at when it comes to that kind of stuff. And, to mention, Mike Townsend's going to be about 150 miles from here, either today or tomorrow, or he was already. And also, many a great Canadian Football League player has come from the Northern and Southern Carolina region. So, you know, it's not an unusual place to be when it comes to football.
Darian Durant, baby. Darian Durant.
From South Carolina,
played at North Carolina, yeah.
So, absolutely. You know, it's not unusual for me to be here then. Because when it comes to football, this is one of the meccas of the world.
Absolutely. You know, you'll probably walk by a future CFLer during your time down there this week.
I think I did, and he was a bouncer.
Wow. Well, there you go. And probably a couple past CFLers as well, maybe even a current one, you know what I mean? Like, there's some guys down there right now,
sure.
That's for sure. And, hey, I want to mention Anton McKenzie was just released from the Lions today, and you know, that had been something that had been in the works for a few weeks, and he's not in South Carolina, but he's down, you know, near you in Virginia anyways, and,
we drove through.
He's a guy who I really hope comes back to Saskatchewan. I mean, you know, but any team in the league could really use a guy like him. He's just a true professional. I keep in touch with him. He's looking fantastic as far as shape is concerned. And, he's absolutely a beast on the field. I mean, you know, he's not really that old. You know, he's a younger guy. I think he's got a lot of miles left on him. So, come on, GMs. Let's get McKenzie in the roster somewhere.
Well, he'd be going back home, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
In a way.
Yep. That's,
I mean, he's a two-time Western Division All-Star, 2008,
yep.
2009. You know, he's all Canadian, so he is, a non-import. He's made 310 defensive tackles and 12 sacks as a member of the Lions. And he also, earned a Grey Cup ring in that wonderful year for Saskatchewan fans when they finally realized they could actually do it in 2007. And in BC with 2011. So this guy has some Grey Cup experience as well. So, you would not do badly in getting him. In fact, I'm just beginning to wonder, maybe I should make a call to Bruce Barker and say, hey, dude, what's up, man?
Sure.
This guy's a cool.
You know, I mean, he would fit in great
in
Toronto.
And what
does
the Argos lack on defense is experience.
Yeah, right. Exactly. A captain, you know. Like, this guy is captain material. He really is. He can call the plays, and he's an intelligent man. And you know, like I say, there's nobody that I know. Granted, I mean, I don't know everybody, but the guy works hard. I haven't seen too many other guys working as hard as him this off season. So I was just really
What does that tell you, though, Kelly? What does that tell you?
I know.
I
it
mean,
just tells you the level
you?
Is going up, up, up.
Yeah. You know, like, obviously, Buono's happy with what he's got, even though he releases Anton McKenzie.
Oh, sure he is. I mean, he got Jamal Johnson from Hamilton, and he, you know, has Big Hill and Elamimi in there. I mean, that's the best linebacking core on paper in the league. You know, I mean, and you got him throw McKenzie in there until up to today. And then, you know, I don't think anybody could say that those guys aren't going to make some heads turn this year.
Unfortunately, Mr. Jones isn't here.
Oh, comment.
Because obviously, because he would be – let me take a Jones moment here. This is my interpretation of – my imitation, is that imitation? of Mr. Chris Jones. My, Rich Little thing on him? Imitation?
Yep.
My impersonation.
Yep.
My impersonation.
Both.
That's what word I'm looking for. This is my impersonation of Christopher Jones. And Christopher, if you're listening on the rewind, if you will, please do not be offended by this. Just understand that this is you, and I'm just, it's, if you don't like what I'm saying, you better look in the mirror. BC Lions released Anton McKenzie today because they have an embarrassment of riches. We're going to win the Grey Cup, and we actually didn't need him, and we just thought we'd let him go to do Saskatchewan or Toronto a favor.
Bang on, buddy. Yeah. That's Chris's take on things. And now, Mike, what do you got to say? Yep.
Yep. They're here after all. It's like they're really here. Yeah, so it was a good move by, by BC in the sense that if they're letting this guy go, what they have is incredible. And, you know, and that's the beauty of sports. You know, a player, a good player doesn't necessarily, and this is something that this release, underscores, underlines, and accentuates.
Yeah.
That the best of players are released. You know, for every player that's released, they can honestly look in the mirror and say, I'm not the first guy that's been released, and I'm not the first guy that's been released that's going to be picked up by another team, and maybe even become a bigger star on that team than I was on the team that released me.
Absolutely, man. And you know, it's happened before, and it'll happen again. And I did send him a personal message just saying exactly that. Is this isn't the first time somebody's been released. I mean, you're going to have a lot of suitors, man, so just hold your breath for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And and if you're if you're somebody from one of those teams, trust me when I say this, you'll want him bad, you know? Now, it's not often that I acknowledge Facebook. Well, yes, I acknowledge it a lot. But have you seen the picture that that Mike's Mike and Christopher's webpage has up on their BC Lions?
Absolutely.
I see John Cornish in the picture. I see Winnipeg BC uniform.
That's
Edmonton.
Big Hill with the goatee. That's Mike Riley in the Edmonton jersey. I guess that's
in the background.
Gary in the And I can't make out the Winnipeg guy. Not too familiar with him, but of course it's Lule, also the other Lion.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there they are, looking silly. But that's got to be that. This is one of my new favorite pictures. Does it not show the character of Canadian Football League players?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, you're bang on, bud. And you know, when I saw it, you know, at first I thought, hey, where's the rider? You know, we're underrepresented here. But then I took a second look, a double take or whatever, and I just thought, wow, this is fantastic. Like, I'm not a fan of the character of John Cornish, but he got a few points for this picture. Looks like he's having a good time.
And you know what? And this is what this whole season is going to be about this year. I think we're going to have one of the greatest CFL seasons in memory. Looking back at what happened last year. Last year was the season of the backup quarterbacks, and I'm dying to see what and maybe I'm wrong in suggesting that, but I truly believe that last year was the season of the backup quarterback, and mm-hmm. I'm dying to see what this year is going to bring, aren't you?
I know the general theme. Yeah, what is the general theme going to be like? Like, I think you're 1,000% correct in naming that the general theme of last year. And, you know, I mean, this is from somebody who lives in the Green Province. I mean, the general theme should have been for us, you know, Riders win and Grey Cup, maybe greatest season of all time in the CFL, which, it, you know, you might agree with that as well. But moreover, it's the year of the backup last year. This year, I'm not sure what to look forward to, but maybe the year of absolute parity where, you know,
and
we've
got... You know
got...
what? You're going down the rope. Yep. I agree with you 100%, man. Because this year is going
guaranteed.
To be, I think, I think if we're allowed to surmise and or predict without reason, because that's really what we're doing here. We're predicting without reason because there really is no basis for making this decision. But I think this is going to be the year of the surprise, the year of the how shall I say this?
Underdog,
the year
maybe.
Of proof that there's always hope. You know, I think that's what this year is going to be. There's going to be a lot of surprises, and more importantly, there's going to be a battle, like you said, and I think you've hit the nail right on square on the head, a pretty fat nail with a very little hammer, and you know, it is going to be the year of equity in the league. I really do believe that parity, by definition, maybe not. Do you know what I mean? Like maybe not by definition, but
subtly different. Yeah,
you know, it's that same thing where Ottawa's going to have 8.5 points out of 10, right? And it'll be parity, 8.5, 8 out of 10. And
totally.
It is going to be the kind of year where there are going to be surprises. And there will be people like, you know, Christopher Jones and Mike Townsend and John Granger and Frank Stanishi and not so much you, that will look forward and then look backward saying, see, I told you. But it'll be a surprise for most of the people involved in the Canadian Football League, whether it is that they are part of the league or they're just people who seek to pay homage to the league. It is going to be a wonderful year. I am really looking forward to it. My season ticket is almost paid for. For those of you that I have to say this. Yes, I admit again that I'm an Argo fan. Yes, this show began. We had, during the season, we had an Argo show, a national show. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I pretty much play it off the seat of my pants, play it by ear. At the end of the day, I know this might sound corny, and I know this might sound hollow maybe a little bit, but I really do believe in letting the show become what it wants to become. I had a long-term goal with this program, and I've achieved it, so I'm more than happy. So anything else that happens here on in is a bonus to me, because when I started this program, as I told John at the time, I wanted to turn Candid Frank Live Blog Talk Radio into kind of a network, which I've had the opportunity to do, because now we do not only the CFL, we do lacrosse and we do hockey. For more people, hockey is an easy thing because it's such a popular sport. I get it. But, you know, it is. At the end of the day, the biggest dream that I had, which seemed like a big dream at the time, and now I'm looking back and going, well, that was pretty easy, is to get people like you interested in Kelly, where, you know, each and every night I knew I had a co-host because I couldn't do this alone. I can't do this alone. There's no way I could do this alone.
Yeah.
And tonight I'm as close to doing it alone as possible, which means you're it, and thank you. I really appreciate your existence, because when I came into this, the whole point, I wanted to get close to as many CFL fans from as many places as possible. And I have to say, when it comes to the Canadian Football League, I may draw the ire of some, but, you know, Saskatchewan is an integral part of what is the CFL. You know, you guys are the definition of a small town, community owned. It is everything that you live and breathe. You know, in Saskatchewan, the CF is the sport of choice. And some, like John and myself, would say, well, you know, it's not like you have a lot of other distractions. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. I just mean in a simple factual sense that you know, and it's lovely to see, and it's wonderful for me to see, you know, that even with just the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, a sports fan still has enough. And that, to me, is the definition of what makes sports so wonderful. You can really make a meal out of almost nothing, and nothing proves it more than Leaf Man.
Oh, for sure. It's a poverty meal out here. You know, we get wieners and beans, and that's the Riders. You know, we got junior hockey, but that's junior. It's not professional-level sports. And, you know, we just summarize it as it's the only game in town. And, you know, Like, that's why our kids are raised on it. Oh, sure we are. Yeah, absolutely.
You're proud of it.
We're
fortunate to have it. That's the part that I admire.
You know,
it's very
easy
to be in Saskatchewan and complain about the fact that, well, we don't have any hockey. We don't have any lacrosse. We don't have any. You know, it'd be very easy to do that, you know.
Oh, guaranteed. You know, and you may remember, Frank, back in 1982, there was a gentleman named Wild Bill Hunter from Saskatoon.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the man? Right. Well,
mm-hmm.
it was the spirit of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders that allowed him to do what he did in trying to bring the St. Louis Blues to Saskatoon. And you know, it was the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in his heart were the driving factor that he, like, the belief, you know, because we rally around the Riders so much, this is the belief that led him to believe that he should work so diligently on trying to bring the Blues to Saskatoon, and he was an inch away. He was an inch away.
Right now, the way it sits right now, Saskatchewan loved to have the St. Louis Blues in town.
No doubt. It,
one
it's
of the
probably going
to
be Blues Boston. Yeah, it's probably going to be
never
Blues
know.
Boston this year. Yeah. And that goes back to what, isn't that when Bobby Orr scored the leaping goal, Blues Bruins?
Yes,
that was a
absolutely.
Fantastic series.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
It appears that somebody has decided to give us a call. He's honored us with his existence and his presence.
Awesome.
The one, the only, John Granger.
Hey,
hello.
Johnny. Nice to hear you, John.
Tried calling you, buddy.
Is there a show tonight? I mean, I got in. I'm thinking, what's going to be faster? Can I turn a tablet on and see if you're on, or what the hell? I'll just call in and see if you're on. You're on. I just got in, and I'm thinking, let me just give it a shot. So you are on. I thought you were in Myrtle Beach.
I am.
Oh, okay. Frank, I didn't know you were going to do the show tonight, and we went out. We had to go visit a friend that. Finally got to go home after she had an accident a little while ago. And hello. I got, who's on? The guys are on? Who's on? I heard Kelly's
just
voice.
Kelly.
You and Kelly.
What?
Yeah. No, it's fantastic to have you here, John, because, you know, me and Frank are pretty agreeable guys, so there's not much action here tonight. But, you know, one thing that I always love about you is, you know, that inside feeling that I get, you know, out here on the prairies, that, you know, I can get really inside the Argos with you and Frank. And that's what I think you bring. And you know, when you're not here, you know, it just, you know, half of that is gone. So thank you very much for calling in.
Well, that's like better than what we had for dessert tonight. Are you kidding me, Kelly? I appreciate that. Okay.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm humbled now. Oh, okay. I appreciate that. I mean, ditto. So it's kind of weird. I'm thinking am I going to get any word in if I'm calling in this late? Because I know there must be like about six people on. I go, what the hell, I'll give it a shot. So it's just the three of us tonight, huh? Well,
yep,
it was the two of you the whole show?
Yeah.
Nobody?
Yeah, just
oh, okay. Oh, so you had no beginners?
And a case of ginger ale.
Oh, nice. I thought you might even have some beginners who dropped out. So it was just the two of you tonight, eh? Well, Kelly, now you got to feel like what what we went through for
what
a few
you
months.
Felt like, yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I told Kelly. That's exactly
well,
what
yeah.
I told Kelly.
We know each other. Well, yeah,
how's the
not only
is
that,
Frank.
John, yeah. Hang on. It gets better. Yeah. Kelly
oh,
called
yeah?
in, or I should say I called Kelly. I brought him in the room, and his mic didn't work. I couldn't hear him.
Oh, hello, are you there?
are you there? Are you there? We're back to the, you know, the inception of the Candid Frank Live Show with John Granger and Frank trying to ensure that they could hear each other, and we went through that little phase. I had to call Kelly so far tonight. I think I've had to call him twice, right, Kelly?
That's right. Yeah, call
or,
back
well,
twice.
It
I think
three
he's
times.
Made three calls in total.
There
well,
you go.
Well, that's not bad, actually. That's a success.
There you go.
Well, so
well,
yeah.
Blog Talk
well, what's
Radio's
a,
getting better.
So catch me up. Is there anything particular on the agenda that you guys were talking about, or you're just freestyling?
Go ahead, Kelly.
Pretty much, but we talked about the league, just, you know, the nuances of the Canadian game, and talked a little bit about, you know, how Frank's feeling in South Carolina, talking about a CFL, you know, talking on a CFL blog talk radio show from South Carolina, a little bit of a different feeling. You know, we touched on the small amount of league news that there is in McKenzie being released today, Anton, that is, of the BC Lions, and the retirement of Ben Archibald. We haven't really talked about that yet, but that is the small bits of news.
I'd like to touch on the fact that if it's only the two of you fellas here now, I want to put a little end to this talk about, and I hate to hurt anybody's feelings out there on this, but like I said, just a fact check. They're not going to the States for at least two decades, if, all right? They're not
at
all. I am sorry, guys. This is, like, you know, trust me on this, spoke to enough people in the CFL offices, even the commission a little bit, and trust me on it, it's not even close, not even on the radar. It's nowhere there. I know people who live across the border have an imagination of how good it would be if they came here, and it's a football town. Everywhere you go in the States is football hungry, and they're sports knowledgeable down there too, so they appreciate a good product. I get it, but it's not happening. They just went the wrong way. They want this to be the pride of the nation when it comes to it. It's the one thing that everybody tunes into more than the Stanley Cup. If we ever get two Canadian teams, we really can't judge now, right, because the social media has just blown up. But still on the radar, the CFL Grey Cup brings the most unity as far as television, attention, news, worthiness. And so
absolutely.
No way do they want
to
go and stray away from that.
You're 100% right. And I'll throw my two cents in and make it like this. Right now there are 5 Western teams, 4 Eastern teams. Before the league expands outside of Canada, we still have Quebec and the Maritimes in the East. Rather than have 5-5 or 5 in the West, the next team in the West will not be an American team. That's guaranteed. You can take that to the bank, folks. The only way it's going to work out is there'll be 5 Eastern teams. One will be in the Maritimes. One will be in Quebec. And that's what will happen. But really right now, in my opinion, it's a race to see which one of those teams, because, like John says, it'll at least be 20 years after the next expansion that comes next, which will be either Quebec City or the Maritimes. And then it'll be like a 10-15-year wait before the next team comes.
Frank, I, you're tapping into the right direction, but I'll tell you how I see it, or more or less how I'm feeling from just the little niblets here and there, how it's going to play out. Because of the attention that they're giving to particular cities, that the CFL is kind of getting a, you know, the judge interest is very simple now. The social media, the tweeting, everything, they can find out where the interest is coming from, what cities, and who's tuning in, and who's talking about it. So as far as going to the States, the closest they're going to get to the States is Windsor. And that's after, you said, Halifax, Quebec, Windsor. In the West, it'd be hard to tap into anywhere else that you really need to hit a city besides, you know, Regina, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Saskatchewan, I think they can have 2 football teams if it goes past Windsor, okay? Because Windsor could have a football team if we're looking at 15 years down the road with the attention the CFL is going to market itself right now with these teams. It's going to blow up more than we anticipated to, and it's going to be, I think, a good thing for Canada and the sports scene and the Argos in particular. I think with the MLSC, it's going to bring a lot of attention to it and help it in that direction, okay? So, guys, I know you guys talked about it before, and I don't even want to get into it because I don't want to ruin anybody's kind of fantasy about that happening if you're down there. And Mike Townsend, I get it. You feel out the football scene down there, and you kind of have a vibe as to what you think that might work in Detroit or whatever. But Detroit's not going to do it. It's just not. The Lions, that's their territory, and that's it. And that's if the CFL can even compete in Windsor. And I'm saying down the road, if you're looking at it. But population-wise, interest-wise, why not Windsor? You know? So,
sure.
Again, you know, Maritimes, you're right, Frank. Quebec, you're right. And then I'm thinking, you know, Windsor, if any potential, because you just have the population base that can produce, you know, the interest there. And so as far as south of the border, no way. It's not even, you know, not even.
You know, John, I think you've made your point, and I think both Kelly and I agree with you. And just to get you up to speed, we were talking about the similarities between, we were making a connection between the CFL and junior hockey. And you've just done it inadvertently again. And by that I mean the Ottawa franchise is leaning on the experience of a CHL team in Ottawa. The Ottawa team.
That's their model.
The Ottawa team there. Exactly. And the Windsor team is just as successful as the Ottawa franchise in the CHL. The 67s and the Windsor Spitfires have a lot in common. They really do. Very successful ownership, very successful teams, you know, in the community. So, you know, I could see if Ottawa becomes a success story. But the template is there, John, for what you're suggesting. Right, Kelly?
Look,
it absolutely is. And, you know, I commend you for making that point. And, you know, as far as the apologizing to Mike stuff, you know, I think he'd be happier than a P in F, because Windsor's a hop, skip, and a jump away from Detroit. And these Detroit people who are feeling the CFL, they would love the fact that there's a team in Windsor. And you know, I see them coming across the border for games. I mean, it's not rocket science. They're neighbors.
Kelly, I also beg, if I can offer this, Pontiac, Michigan is where the NFL had the Detroit Lions home, the dome that's there. And do you know that Windsor is a lot closer than Pontiac, Michigan is to Detroit?
I know, exactly.
It's a possibility. Yes, I know. And that's the only, you know, and Mike brought that up before, and he did bring that up about the stadium situation there. That's the only thing that, like, I thought maybe they need a tenant pad down there. I mean, desperate. But it's down the road, and by the time they're even thinking something like Windsor, you have to get the Hamilton thing revived and making its own money, and you got to. Ottawa is going to be a profit. I mean, they had a football base before there. It's just the ownership really didn't appreciate the fan base there, and they made a mockery of it. What they have now, they're just going to really, really. I think they're going to thrive with that team there, regardless of what they do on the field. The fan base there, and they're just good fans. They're good fans in Ottawa. So I think that's going
to...
Hamilton?
Fans.
Yeah, great fans. Hamilton, you know, because it all depends on what the Ticat fans think of their new stadium. I mean, they have their followers, which are the regulars, but then you got the, you know, not-so diehards that say they are fans, but they come out because otherwise they should fill that stadium all the time, even with Ivor Wynne. Okay, I mean it, that's the only local sport or whatever. And if you're really a fan, come on, pack it in. And you know, Toronto, it's just no excuses why they don't. And there are excuses, but they're just not into it as much. And they will be, guys. The excuses of not the atmosphere, which I, as a diehard Argo fan, I still complain about Rogers Centre. It's got pockets of good sight lines. Okay, pockets. And the majority on the 200 level. But it's not
a football
stadium.
We talked about that
stadium.
As well, John.
Right.
John, we talked about that as well, the challenge that is Toronto.
Right. Right.
Sure.
Well, it's, you know, I can go on and on and on and on and on and on about the challenges. But I'm just looking at the positive, you know. The positive is it's going to go the right way here. The only negative I see here is this favoritism with the TFC You know, Lewicki is talking too much about the fact that he's soccer first and he's a soccer fan first. I mean, come on. They have a 17,000 season ticket base. That's why you're saying they're first. And they should be
exactly.
For that reason.
Sure. It's marketing.
It's marketing, but when he's opening his mouth like that, you're really hurting the image that you're trying to portray as far as interest in the Argos and how you feel
Absolutely.
About them. You know, you're making it sound like we're second tenants again, like we are at the Blue Jay Stadium. So, you know, I'm not getting a positive, complete vibe on it. Then again, he might be doing the political
right
now.
John, we're not going to get the respect that we deserve at any juncture because we're not first on the list. But in defense of Lewicki, John, remember, what he's saying is for public digestion, correct?
Yeah.
Sure.
He's a good communicator.
Schmoozer.
And he knows when to say the right thing. Yeah, very well. And you know, these are the guys who are the shakers and the bakers and do the right things to make things happen. But sometimes when you read into what they really, really are, it's how do you take them at face value? Well, you take them at face value by producing. And what he did with the Raptors right now, what he's doing with TFC, he literally is producing. With the Leafs, I don't know if he's really wanting to tap into that. They kind of run themselves. He just came in here to save the other entities or tentacles that MLSC has. And so far, I mean, you know, on you know what I see and what he's doing.
Hey, John.
It's there.
John, why not look? If I can look outside the box, and Kelly, you can be the gauge here because you're on the outside. Let's bear in mind that Lewicki is an American, and he comes into a Canadian corporation because, you know, a Canadian company, if you will. I don't know whether a corporation is the right definition. He comes in here, and when it comes to basketball as an American, you know, we Canadians can take a step back and go, okay, you know, Buddy comes from a place where they know their basketball. You know, and the MLS, you know, it's a North American league. This guy ran a team in L.A., he brought a very famous English player to L.A., and he turned L.A., the Galaxy, into a championship team. Yeah, we can take a step back and hear what he has to say as far as, you know, the MLS is concerned. But, you know, I think the smartest thing he could do is to keep his hands off the Leafs because he would be an American telling a hockey country how a team should be run. You know what I mean? But, you know, he's going to have to stick his hand in there because now with what the team is going through, I feel sorry for Dave Nonis. I'm not so much for Randy Carlyle because Randy Carlyle has made the bed for himself. You know, he has created the situation that he's in right now. He has had more to do with what this team's all about and how it's progressing, or I should say digressing. He is dead in the water. Carlisle's
dead
in the water.
In the water but
and I think Nonis is gone, too. I think Nonis is gone, too, because one thing that Lewicki has established, and I admire his guts, you know, and his intuition. You know, he made a decision on the basketball team. He only made one decision. He decided he needed new management. One decision. That's all he did, one decision. What did he do on the MLS side? He only made one decision. They needed a new GM. They needed a new guy to steer the ship in a direction that he felt would be successful. And he's only made two decisions, you know. But he made no decision other than to leave the status quo when it came to the Leafs.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit too quick after they just got rid of the previous GM coach or coach GM or whatever you want to call it.
You mean Burke.
You mean Burke,
to be specific.
Yeah. I think we all knew who I meant, but I kind of forgot his name. I'm glad you brought it up too. Honestly,
it's all right.
You know, it was a little.
That's why I'm here
to
fill in the gap.
And there you go. It's too soon to pull the trigger with the Leafs concerning what you know they did with him. They want to. I think you should just stay away from that for at least another year.
At the end of this season, the Leafs are going through a major overhaul. I can promise you that.
I don't see
it going any other way.
Well, they're probably going to let him have it if the TFC continue doing well and the Raptors go into the playoffs.
Exactly.
Maybe past the first
round. You have no other choice.
Yeah.
Work your magic with the Leafs because we're tired of waiting.
Right. All right, and if and then when he's going to be, I mean, there's so many things he's going to be doing and getting. He's going to be like the mecca sports guy here in the city if things go well.
Okay, but
in the right direction.
Let's bring him now. We've done enough with the Leafs. We've done enough with the Raptors and the MLS. The MLS, yes, partners with the Argos, and I take your point quite. In fact, I embrace your point in as far as yes, he does seem to publicly come across as MLS first, CFL, you know, what the heck, we might as well have them here too. You know, I get that, and I agree with you 100%. But at the end of the day, John, it's what he does if and when MLSC purchases the team that matters to me. What, you know, one thing as a Toronto sports fan that I got to tell you, John, and you should be able to relate to this, and Kelly from a distance, I'm sick and tired of listening to the promises and the geniuses that come here saying, I got it all figured out, watch it happen. You know, we watched Burke come in here and try, and you know, really honestly, what did he really accomplish? Did he get cut off early, or did he have 3 years to do something and nothing improved? You know, they didn't make the playoffs under his tenure. So, you know, it's
That team last year was pretty much a Burke team, and I mean, they gave you the most excitement that's been around in Leafs Nation for a long time.
Kelly.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I like Burke, Frank. I think I still like him.
I'm talking about. It's not
but Kelly's right. That was last year's team was his team.
Big deal. They
hit it right on the nail.
Lead in Game 7. They blew a 4-1 lead in Game 7 of the playoffs. That was Burke's team. They blew a 4-1 lead in Game 7. Right?
Well,
they blew a 4-1 lead.
Yeah,
and John,
look at
here's the thing. Great, John. For the Leafs, making the playoffs is a major achievement. I get it.
They played well.
Lewicki made one change. Lewicki made one change in basketball. Made one change in soccer. Right? He changed GM. And the teams look better. I mean, you've got an MLS team in the Red Patch Boys, the TFC team, that has never won back-to-back games.
Okay, but hold on a second.
They
you're comparing the differences here. The GM is making a difference. If you're trying to tie it into the Argo situation, it has nothing to do with the Argos on the field and how they produce. They shouldn't touch anything when it comes to the on-field management. If they do, that's a big mistake. And if they even think about doing...
But, John, isn't that a decision? Isn't that a decision for tomorrow? The number one decision right now, we've only got a little over a minute.
Yeah, but the Argos
produce
on the field,
right now,
Frank.
Do they purchase the team? Let's take it one step at a time. You and I both believe that the team will be purchased. And at the point of purchase, a decision will need to be made after a reasonable amount of review time. And I have faith in Lewicki that he has good judgment as far as what makes a good leader, because he's proven it with Ujiri. And I'm sorry, I forgot the guy's name at TFC. He made a good decision with that fella as well. So, you know, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you know, I'm not demanding him to make changes at the Argos.
No, I hope not. I thought it was going that direction, but the change that he can make is literally just buying them and marketing them better and putting them in the right atmosphere. Now, you know, Frank, we say all these things that we would like, but then again, I'm telling you, he's going to be raising the prices for the Argo games. That's without a doubt. And by the time we get into the new stadium, it'll be more than you and I would want to pay.
Okay,
but
listen,
it'll be a demand thing, though.
Listen, let me say goodbye to the people that are listening to the show live. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. This, of course, is the Kent Frank Live Show, the football edition, if you will, the football talk. Thank you for tuning in. For those of you that want to listen on the rewind, you'll be able to listen to the rest of the show, the last few minutes, because I'd like to let John say what he has to say. Please, listen to us on the rebound. Okay, John, go ahead. Finish your point.
Well, I kind of lost it a little bit, but I'm trying to get to the fact that it's what he wants to do.
What
he wants to do. Yeah, I got my point back. Yeah, I recall. I it's what he's going to be able to do with the marketing aspect of it. The ticket is going to be in demand just because of the fact that 25,000 in a new stadium where, you know, the Argos filled 40,000 before, 35 easily for a few years, when they had the ship in the right direction. So there was a football fan base and an interest here. It's not as if there's no football fans around. It's just that they've been told so many times that it's not worth going to. And you, when you stick it on a Tuesday and a Thursday night, you're really kind of sucking everybody else who is interested from going anyways. And then you put it on the night before the Indy and all these ridiculous scheduling things.
That's not going to be Lewicki's concern. All those
things that we had issues with are an easy fix. The team on the field produces.
Sure.
They're champions. So they can do that and leave them alone when it comes to that. But what happens as far as the interest, it'll be there because 25,000, I mean, seriously, I think they're miscalculating this thing by only having 25,000. And for that reason, Frank, the tickets are going to be priced accordingly. And
John,
it will fill 25,000.
Have you ever watched Monty Python?
The series, I think.
Yeah. You remember one of the movies they had the monks, you know, that are chanting, and then they got the Bibles, and they're hitting themselves in the head, marching?
Yeah. The meaning of life. Yep.
Yeah.
The meaning, exactly. That is what MLS, that's the effect MLSC has on sports fans. The sports fans will be marching, banging the Bibles on their head. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, the credibility for the CFL will be raised by the purchase of MLSC. And don't make any mistake about it. MLSC knows that right off the bat they're going to be owed a debt of gratitude. The first thing they're going to say is they bought the Argos. The second thing they're going to say is we're going to have the Grey Cup at the newly expanded and or renovated BMO Field.
It will, but let me just throw this in, and if whoever stuck around to listen, the team is already bought. It is a done deal. It is a handshake promise to say, let's sign it and announce it on this date. But it is done.
Right.
Otherwise, they would not be going to City Hall asking for permits, permission, money, loans, payback, all these things.
Their own money.
This would not be at. Yeah, you don't say and ask and do all these things if you didn't already say, look, you're ours. We bought you. And now we're going to go and do the political thing, circle or circus, if you want to call it, by going out to get the money, to get the government on board so they don't feel left out. We'll pay them all back. Everybody will be honky-dory. And then we're going to announce the sale. But give us some time because we want to concentrate on the TFC and the big publicity we're pulling off with them. We don't want to mix it up. So the ticket drive for the Argos begins, I believe, in the middle of April or in the first 2-3 weeks, where certain things start happening in the front office. Because, as you know, Frank was saying, I think you said it just before I was calling. Yeah, I was listening to you when I picked up the phone. You were saying something about you almost paid off your ticket or something like that. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Frank?
Yeah, anyway,
yeah,
what I'm trying to say is,
yeah,
your last payments or something like that, right, for tickets. So once
is
done, once the season ticket holders have paid off their last payments, which I think is coming up in April, that's when I think something's going to really happen, okay? That's when they
absolutely
need to start kicking
and
the
John,
drive.
And, John, the beauty of it, the beauty of the whole situation is the Ducks are all aligning in a row. They will not have to suffer the distraction of the Leafs in the playoffs.
Right.
Yep.
Right. That
absolutely.
Too. You know.
Yeah.
You got a good
no,
point. Well, it will be the distraction of the Raptors in the playoffs. So.
Well, fortunately for Canadian sports fans, the Raptors have not captured the imagination at the same level the Leafs have.
They won tonight I heard.
Yeah, I'm out west here, and, you know, the Raptors have caught my eye this year, that's for sure. I've been trying to be a fan. You know, I was born a Boston Celtic fan. Like, that's the team my dad rooted for, so kind of grew up
rooting
for the Green
Guys.
Sure. I mean, that's my era. I was born in 77, right? So right there.
Right.
Mine was
and,
Bob
Cousy. You know,
mine was Bob Cousy. Do you even know who Bob Cousy is?
No.
Absolutely, Frank. I'm pretty much familiar with every Celtic in history. But
wow.
Anyway, you know, I've
how
tried to be
GM
a Raptor fan over the years,
cigar.
And it hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
But this year, they're looking hot. I mean, this team is for real. I mean, Lowry's
absolutely.
In the right
well.
Place every time. And, yeah.
I'm a little
good.
Bit surprised
and, you know, he's
by
not
them,
just
honestly.
Making, he's not just making those throws from three-point range. He's swishing them.
Oh, for
yeah.
Sure.
There's no rattle
yeah.
in them. There's no rattle in
DeRozan
them. Well, listen, John, listen, we have to go.
Tonight.
Say what you have to say for Monday. There will be a show on Monday. There'll be a hockey
okay.
show on Sunday. And there will be another show on the following Friday back from Mr. and Mrs. Saga. So
okay.
you know we're muddling along, but right now you're biting into my romantic walk on the beach / shark sighting moment. So
carry on. Have a good one.
So listen, we're going to say goodnight, John. I really appreciate you having the fortitude to come on the program and to at least make sure that we were on. Thank you very much. And Kelly,
yeah,
thanks
good
for
hearing from you, Kelly. Too Kelly, good hearing from you. Yeah, three
yeah,
of us tonight. Well.
See if we can expand it to the three of us plus one on Monday.
Right.
<For sure.
laughs> I'm shocked that Mike Townsend. I'm still shocked Mike Townsend didn't call in tonight. He's like, he calls in from everywhere. I mean, what?
Hey,
yeah.
Kelly. Kelly, do you want to do it together?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you ready? Because this isn't rehearsed, John. So at
what?
This point, this is where we both say, John made that point, and this is where we say, yup.
Yep.
Why? Well, did I miss something?
Yes, sir.
Never mind. Never
yes,
mind. You
sir.
Did miss something. You're going to have to listen on the rewind. You're going to have
to listen
on
the rewind. Yeah. Well, I hope Mike's okay
love you,
because
Mike.
He's. Yeah, I hope he's okay because
well,
he's a diehard.
You
know.
He's supposed to be near here. Look, guys, I really got to go. I mean, literally. I've drank so much
yeah.
ginger ale. And I'll talk to you guys later.
Ginger ale?
Thanks for
you
being
don't
on
drink
the program.
Ginger ale.
All right, guys.
Yes,
take care, guys.
Yes,
Kelly.
Tonight I did. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you for tuning into the Blog Talk Radio Show, Candid Frank Live. Thanks for tuning in. Football Monday and Fridays, lacrosse, of course, on Wednesday, and hockey on Sunday. Thanks for tuning in. Hope to hear from you again. That is 9 to 11 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 to 10 for the hockey show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll hope to hear from you next time.
Good night.